Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
I don't get the joke. Temporary layoff, good times, easy credit ripple, good times, scratching and surviving, good times. None of these are good things. It's like sodomy is coming, good time. No, it's not. It's not at all. I'm not one of these guys who's blaming the world for where I'm at. I'm at where I'm at because I made bad decisions. But on top of those bad decisions, God's looping up my ass. There's not a thing I know how to do. All I know how to do is take videos at concerts. It's really all I know how to do. And write some words and do a podcast. I don't know how to do anything else. This idea that Pearl Jam are the heroes of the Seattle movement is absolute lunacy. It's insanity. And the no smoking policies kill me. No one wants to smoke in the venue, don't worry. But if the show is going to be 3 hours long, you better stamp my fucking hand and give me and show me where the door is to go out and smoke a cigarette. I paid $60 for a seat so I can retrieve the seats when I come back in from smoking a cigarette.
I always talk about weed. Force headline on you. I am not going to hit you. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to force things. I will never force headline on you. I am not going to hit you with a weird festival in, you know, Florida with one band I've heard of and a bunch of EDM artists on it. I'm not going to read that to you. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any.
So the lady goes, "Stop complaining. At least you're not dead."
Staten Island is a racist place. Just because you may not be a racist doesn't mean you can write an article saying, "Why are we known as racist? That's so wrong. It shouldn't be like that." Well, everybody's a racist. Spend your day clipping coupons. Go to the supermarket. Buy food. And prepare it at home. I know that's a wild and crazy idea.
You can't... Don't you dare! Spin Magazine, you do some dumb things. But I gotta tell you, you spent 7 weeks hyping the Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift album, and then you panned it? Are you good?
Hey yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I'm Jay Porks. With me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular Nobody voice gone again. Andy back at Honeycomb Hideout on the production. Alright, we got some stuff to get to today. Big week. When I say big week, I mean very, very small week. But things happened. We'll do a little music headlines. See what else is going on. If nothing's going on, I'm not gonna keep you too long. It's like the last day of school before like a vacation, you know? And you go into school, even though you gotta go in, you wanna take off, but you know what? There's one more day. And with that one day, you gotta go in. Maybe you meet up with some friends and plan some vacation hijinks. Maybe you finally get that reading packet that the teacher's gonna send you home with, because God forbid they just let you enjoy your time off, right? I mean, you might forget it. You might forget that you had to learn algebra. You know, so it's one of those where no one's really paying attention. So we got a few things. And as you know, the headlines every week are powered by Antiquiet. Okay, first of all, like I said last week, as I was recording last week, Guns N' Roses announced the cities that they were going to play, but they didn't announce the stadiums or, like, the venues. So it said New York. So it said New York on July 23rd, something along those lines. Anyway, so I told you. I said that New York thing is not going to be New York, or it's going to be upstate New York, or I don't know where it's going to be, but what stadium do they have in New York? Where are they going to play? Buffalo? Like, I don't know. It's going to be somewhere I can't get to. MetLife Stadium. You know what MetLife Stadium is? It's in East Rutherford, New Jersey. That's not New York. You could have even put metropolitan area, and I would have bought into that. It doesn't say anything. It says New Jersey. If you would have put New Jersey on the poster, I would have definitely knew where we were going, where it was going to be, if I was going. I told you it wasn't going to be New York. Jeez. And for the first time in 23 years, Guns N' Roses, about 20 years late, Guns N' Roses classic lineup reunites for... They reunited in, I want to say, Vegas. L.A., sorry. Axl Rose / Duff McKagan reunited on stage last night in Los Angeles, marking the first performance featuring Guns N' Roses' classic lineup in over 23 years. The 17-song set composed of greatest hits, Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine, and Paradise City. Covers of Wings, Live and Let Die, Bob Dylan's Knocking on Heaven's Door, The Who's the Seeker. Even songs from the band's 2008 album Chinese Democracy, along with the title track and Better. Axl, Slash, and Duff were joined by longtime keyboardist and the man that killed rock and roll, Dizzy Reed, guitarist Richard Fortus, and drummer Frank Ferrer. And new member Melissa Reese, who replaced Chris Pittman as the band's second keyboardist. Reese marks the first ever female member of Guns N' Roses. Alright, let's back up. Is she a member, or does she play keyboard? You know what I'm saying? If they break up now, in 23 years, are they going to be pining for Melissa Reese to get back in the group? She's a member? See, I always get confused, like, when you have touring band versus band. You know? You're telling me that everybody that's on stage hits the studio to record new songs? Let's see what we got. Whatever. There's video all over the internet. let's look at the set list here. What I'm doing is I'm scrolling down to the bottom of a news article thinking I'm going to get the set list. That's what I think. Oh my god. I'm looking at these pictures and like... I told you last time I've... Anytime you see... last time I saw... quote unquote Guns N' Roses, when it was Axl and his crew, Axl and squad. Axl had a cowboy hat on and he looked like fucking Kid Rock, you know? What the fuck happened to this guy? Don't worry, he threw the bandana on last night and the leather jacket and the flannel tied around his fucking... Oh man. You wanna talk about... Listen, here's the thing. You put Slash next to Axl, like, you have one guy who is the epitome definition of cool, and you have one guy who is the epitome definition of not that. You know what I'm saying? All right. Do you want the set list?
Of course you do.
Of course you do, I said. All right. It's So Easy. Mr. Brownstone, Chinese Democracy, Welcome to the Jungle. Double Talk and Jive. That's off of that spaghetti incident. That spaghetti bullshit. Live and Let Die. Rocket Queen. You Could Be Mine. Speak Softly, Love. It's an Andy Williams cover, which wasn't mentioned above in the cover section of this article, but you know, okay. Sweet Child of Mine. New Rose is a cover of The Damned. I think that's the one off the spaghetti incident. You know what? I'm glad I don't know that much about the spaghetti incident. Better, that's off the Chinese Democracy. Knock It on Heaven's Door, the song that Axl Rose destroys. My Michelle, all right, I like that. Night Train, and then they came, went off, and they went back with the encore being The Seeker, it's a cover of The Who, and Paradise City. Where the foil is shiny and the food is pretty. Oh, won't you please wrap my pasta? All right, so July 23rd, it's in East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. What's that do for me? You know what it does for me? Saves me money, that's what it does. Because I don't have to go see this fucking train wreck. Listen, I'm sure for nostalgia purposes, this is fucking awesome. There's my coffee again. Yes, I'm pouring coffee. Sue me! Nostalgia's great. I love the 90s and everything. These guys missed the fucking boat. Besides the fact that Slash is cool, like, he doesn't need this. I can understand if all of these band members needed this. Slash has, like, a horror film company. He goes and plays with Miles Kennedy. They have Foxy Shazam open for them. That shit is cool. They play a varied set list. They're not confined to the, you know, they don't have to learn new songs off a new record that, even though it was released under the name of their band, they're not actually on the record. What's that about? Like, imagine Axl Rose is like, yeah, we're gonna play Better. Slash's like, fuck you, no we're not. Why don't we play something off my solo record, you know? Duff McKagan's like, yo, we gotta play some Loaded songs. Fuck this, we're playing Loaded. And I'm reading a chapter of my book. And Chris Novoselic is coming on stage to play accordion. That the latter actually would be fucking rad. That's not the case. Speaking of, I got some more Chris Novoselic news later. He was quoted Rolling Stone. Oh, shit. I did not know this. The two shows this week at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas with Guns N' Roses, the opener is going to be Alice in Chains, all right? Fly me out there now. That just flipped the whole fucking script. That changed the whole... What? Alice in Chains and Guns N' Roses? That sounds amazing. Will Slash come out with Alice in Chains to perform like Junkhead or something? I don't think the world could handle Slash playing guitar next to Jerry Cantrell playing guitar. I don't think that that's something the world is ready for. Wow, I just got really excited after being really depressed. Not depressed, but you know, reading about nostalgia, Guns N' Roses. This is old. Do you think I want to go to the concert and see like my boss and his wife? He doesn't have a wife, but you know, bunch of old folks, bunch of people that are trying to recapture their youth. They're wearing the same leather jacket they wore to the Guns N' Roses show in 1988. They find some cocaine in the pocket because, you know, those were the times. How many years have we been waiting for this? How many years have we been waiting for this? I'm sorry that I'm not running to fucking see it. And, you know, ask my dad. I like Guns N' Roses a lot more than someone should like Guns N' Roses. Then, you know, they're an okay band. They've got a handful of good songs. They're looked upon as iconic because people were on cocaine in the 80s. What can I tell? I mean, I can't tell you anything else. Once the 90s came, they faded away. When Slash wasn't in the band anymore, they faded away. So I'm just, I don't know. Sorry if I didn't, you know, like, I was sitting right here on my computer when Slash tweeted out the fucking dates. I'm sorry if I didn't go to Antiquiet to post that with the rest of the fucking news cycle. We don't do that at Antiquiet. We write about shit we like, shit we want to write about. Not like tabloid fucking news. I mean, unless it's something I care about. Guns N' Roses, I cared about if they were getting back together when I was 15 years old, I might have cared about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm fucking 30. I don't need it. Don't need it, don't want it, don't have the money for it. Well, let's not. I probably do have the money for it because I do have a real job now. And I have effectively doubled my income. Doesn't mean I'm not going to double my spending on, you know, illegal drugs. It just means that, you know, got more money. Could buy more tickets to shows. Take fucking Alice in Chains on the whole tour. I'll go see them in fucking... Oh, imagine that. Imagine going to see Guns N' Roses at MetLife Stadium. Watching Alice in Chains. Then leaving. You know how mad people would be? They might beat you up. People would be so mad. I get mad when I see people leaving the show early. True story, I was talking to my buddy last night. Alright, so I'm at Megan's... My friend Megan, it was her birthday yesterday. I'm not sure if her actual birthday was yesterday, but we went out to a birthday dinner. Happy birthday, Megan. Congratulations, Renee and Megan, on child. So anyway, so I'm out, I'm talking to one of my friends, and he says, he asked me if I've ever seen the Strokes live, and I said, no, I said, I think they're playing Governor's Ball, because, you know, they play there every year. And he says, yeah, man, I saw them at Bonnaroo. He goes, so they played Reptilia. He said, and a bunch of people started filing out, so Julian Casablancas was like, oh, you guys only wanted to hear that song? They played Reptilia 3 more times in a row and left the stage. Now, I'd be pissed, but that sounds amazing. That sounds like something that everybody who has a music blog, who writes for a music thing, who fucking has a podcast, that's something every one of those people needs to experience. Wow. I would have wrote for days after that. I would have started writing in when I got home from Bonnaroo, and I would have still been writing about how interesting that turn of events was. That's rad. Like, I like the Strokes a little more now that they did that. You know? That's what you get. Some people just want to see one song. When I see the Vaseline, I saw the Vaselines 3 times, which is weird because they don't tour and they're from Scotland, but I've seen them 3 times. And all 3 times, somebody left after Jesus doesn't want me for a sunbeam. Like, oh, I got things to do in the morning. Well, you know what? If I got things to do in the morning, I'm not coming to the show. That's just me. I'm not going to the show to see the one song. The only time I left the show early, not the only time, I've left shows early before, but you know what one of the few shows I left early was? Guns N' Roses. Because I was sick of Axl, and I was sick of his bullshit, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. When you show up to a venue and Axl Rose has already paid the fine for going on late, you know it's a problem. Reptilia. 3 times. That's amazing. So someone always leaves after. There's always a song with someone like the Vaseline. Jesus Doesn't Want Me for a Zombie. The Darkness, who I'll be seeing May 2nd, by the way. I'm in there courtesy of ConcertConfessions.com. Live music news and reviews for fans by fans. That's live music news and reviews for fans by fans. We're still working there. Don't worry, we're still working. We might not get the Humphreys McGee review on our site, but we're working there. So a couple of years ago, I saw The Darkness, and I was seated. It was at Terminal 5. I wasn't seated. I was standing. Second floor, I'm straight away in the back, so I'm behind the soundboard. So basically, what I can see from the soundboard is the band's set list, the opening band and The Darkness. The opening band had, like, lighting cues, when they want the lights off, when they want the lights on, what colors. So, you know, each song it said, like, you know, this song, then afterwards it was, like, blue, then black, and I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. So I was able to see The Darkness set list before they went on. Solid. But by the time they got to Street Spirit Fade Out, the Radiohead cover, it was late. I had work the next day, so I left. It's not like I left after, like, I didn't get to hear I Believe in a Thing Called Love that time, because I didn't stay that late. And thankfully I didn't. Somebody commented on one of my videos. I took video of Love is Only a Feeling, and I linked it up to my review. And somebody said, yeah, good thing you left. They invited a fan on stage to sing Love is Only a Feeling. Oh, man, with that. Not Love is Only a Feeling. To sing I Believe in a Thing Called Love. Man, that would have got me tight. If there's one, I hate when fans are singing. You know, listen. If there's an artist, if Gibby Haynes is watching the show, invite him on stage to sing a song. Not random fans. That's bullshit. You just ruined it for everybody who paid money. More headlines. I'm as big of a feminist as anybody, all right? But could we not focus on how many female drummers are on Rolling Stone's top 100 drummers list? How many female drummers were there? Girls are allowed to drum in bands, and they could do so more often. But over the past, whatever, 100 years, there hasn't been the amount, unless somebody can show me statistics. I'm fairly certain that there hasn't been the amount of female drummers as there's been the amount of male drummers. Therefore, by default, there's going to be more male drummers on this list. So, Rolling Stone has 100 greatest drummers of all time that, you know, slow news week, so they're going to do lists. That's what they do. This is what websites do. Just like it was April Fool's and you couldn't open a fucking news article because it was all, like, fake. Listen, and that's another thing. The April Fool's news articles were funny in 2011. They're not funny now. And if you're going to be funny with it, like, Alternative Nation had some funny ones. Because it was, like, you know it's fake. Like, when it said Brian Johnston to join Stone Temple Pilots, you know? Now, that's funny. That's funny. But, like, I saw an article, President Obama to make marijuana a Schedule II drug. That was an April Fool's joke? That's fucked up, considering that should actually happen. Don't fucking April Fool's me. Fuck you. So anyway, so a lot of websites do lists and stuff this week. John Bonham is at the top of the list, which is fine with me. It's also a lot more fine that Keith Moon and Ginger Baker follow at 2 and 3 respectively. It's a great list. Those three belong at the top. Neil Peart, okay. Neil Peart's at number 4. Old school folks kicking in over here. But, here's one. First of all, Dave Grohl needs to be on this list. And I hate Dave Grohl, but he needs to be on this list. And number 15 is... First of all, whoa. Ringo Starr is 14. Ringo Starr's not even a good... I mean, all right. He was the drummer in one of the most essential bands of all time. Correct. He wasn't the first drummer. And I'm not saying he was bad. But there's no way that he's in front of Buddy Rich. Buddy Rich is the greatest drummer of all time, and he'll tell you about it. If you're in his band, he'll tell you about it on the tapes when he's yelling at you. A self-taught childhood vaudeville star. Vaudeville. Buddy Rich's unrivaled technique and unsurpassed hand speed allowed him to quickly overtake reigning big band drummer Ken Corrupta, who dubbed him the greatest drummer to ever have drawn breath. and land a career-making gig with Tommy Dorsey, where he met friend rival benefactor Frank Sinatra. Friend slash rival. Imagine that. Who delivered his eulogy 4 decades later. But Rich's influence extended far beyond the big band era or even jazz. He was the first American drummer that many of the earliest British rockers ever heard, teaching fans like John Bonham and Bill Ward to encouraging to blast past a simple backbeat toward hitting hard-hitting hard-hitting patterns. Encouraging Phil Collins to abandon a 2-bass drum setup and focus on his hi-hat work. And just plain flooring Roger Taylor. I would say of just sheer technique, he's the best I've ever seen, recalled the Queen drummer. I remember he did a sort of press roll thing, which lasted for about 5 minutes. It started off as a whisper, which you can barely hear. And it got so it filled the whole room, about 3,500 people, and it was like thunder. I would encourage you to go listen to something Buddy Rich. And I would also encourage you, the audio is too bad for me to play on the podcast. It's so terrible that it would be a waste of your time and mine. But look up Buddy Rich tapes. There are secret recordings of Buddy Rich getting on the bus and yelling at his band for playing too loud, saying things like, "You think they came here to see you? No, they came here to see me. I'm the star of the show. You play so loud, I'm gonna take you outside and I'm gonna show you what it's like." Now, I don't know what that means. I'm gonna take you outside and show you what it's like. But it was famously used in that Seinfeld episode where George starts doing the opposite of everything. And he gets up and he yells at the guy in the movie theater. He's like, "I'll take you outside and show you what it's like." It's amazing. All right, more headlines. All right. You guys all know I love Local H. Local H is a great band. Scott Lucas and his bass and guitar setup is just awesome. How he's got the bass and the guitar on the same thing. But a year and a half to 2 years ago, they replaced drummer Brian St. Clair with Ryan Harding. Ryan Harding's great drummer. And they toured and they released an album. But now, the band is celebrating the 20th anniversary of As Good As Dead. And Joe Daniels is going to be drumming with them on tour. Joe Daniels is the original drummer in Local H. And I'm going to read, as posted on Local H's Facebook page, "The rumors are true. After 16 years, Joe Daniels will be rejoining us behind the kit for a run of shows celebrating the 20th anniversary of As Good As Dead. Last fall, we were alerted that plans were underway to reissue our second record on vinyl. We wanted to be involved and contacted Skrvinyl to see if they were interested in including some bonus tracks and demos. They were. They wondered if we were interested in doing some shows around the re-release, maybe doing a tour where we play the record its entirety. We weren't. Here's the thing. We're not too hot on the whole nostalgia thing, and the idea of playing a 20-year-old record didn't fill us with a burning artistic desire. Besides, we just put out a new record that we're still psyched about, and we were more than happy to concentrate on that. And then, of course, we started thinking, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. We've played the record live before. It's a concept record. I mean, it's meant to be played that way. It's not The Wall. But so fucking what? We played that whole album during our last show with Joe." Which led to the obvious question. Why not have Joe play? Well, when would there ever be a better reason? If all parties were down for the situation, why not put together a mega Local H show at the Metro Chicago with As Good As Dead as the centerpiece? Long story short, not only is that happening, but we've decided to take the show on the road. We've spent the last few months practicing, shaking the dust off, and crafting a set that A, we're pretty sure you'll love, and B, we're totally sure we're proud of. As of now, we got shows booked into June. After that, who knows? And if you're worried about what this all means for Ryan, don't be. We're taking him along. Everybody wins. An evening with Local H. No opener. Just Joe, Ryan, and Scott. Two drummers and a guitar player. The Two Balls and a Dick Tour. For some of you, it's been a long time since you've seen Joe play with the band. But some of you have never had the chance to see him play at all. We don't think that's fair, and this is a chance to remedy that. And they're hitting Chicago, Michigan, Buffalo, D.C., New York City, Massachusetts. This is going all over the country. And you can check the, I'll share the link on the notes, but that is... That's what's going on. So, Local H, the Two Balls and a Dick Tour. So there's that. And we've got new music from Veruca Salt. They've got a new video called Eyes on You. I will share that in the notes. Also, before I get on out of here, I'm going to... run through some stuff that's on Antiquiet right now. Antiquiet's your source for quality. You got an album review. Holy Fever brings adrenalized punk fun on debut LP, The Wreckage. That's written by Johnny Firecloud. You can check that out on antiquiet.com. Also, got an interview with the Hellbenders. Bloodshed Around. A Brazilian desert rock outfit recorded an album titled Peyote in Joshua Tree. What else do you need? Facts. I need nothing else. Also, there's a live review. Umphrey's McGee gets heavy in Los Angeles with plenty of heavy riffs, quirky covers, and an appearance from a member of Frank Zappa's band. Umphrey's McGee gave... And I'm out of the fucking... That was the whole blurb there. It ran out. It's funny. You used to see shit like that all the time on ConcertConfessions.com, but, you know... I don't know. Beats me. And I don't know if I got to this last week, but The Last Temptation of Iggy Pop, we've got the review of Post-Pop Depression and Iggy Pop's Urgent Search for the Spirit on Barren Shoes. We've got that. So all of that could be found at antiquiet.com. Antiquiet is your source. For quality. All right, I'm going to get up on out of here. Before I do, I'm going to name some websites. All those websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you're going to get all your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. We're about 10 days away. 10 days away from Ween at Terminal 5. Holy shit. That's going to be crazy. And then 2 days later, Jewel, Atlantic City. Yes to the Bish. Yes to the Bish. Also, ChristinaRocks.com, Hang the DJ, 89xradio.com every Sunday morning. Throwback alternative like it's Thursday, only it's on Sunday. She was just rocking. I recorded Sunday morning. She was just rocking. And you could also check out her website, ChristinaRocks.com. That's Christina with no H. And 89xradio.com. Every Sunday morning is where you're going to get throwback alternative. Throwing it back like it's Thursday, only it's on Sunday. Go to Dara Network. AndyDara.com is HQ for all your podcasting needs, whether that's the Tyler Kale Show, whether that's Jesse Unplugged, whether that's the flagship show, the Andy Dara Show, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, or the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Parks Podcast. You get it all at andydurer.com. And of course, like I've said it before, I will say it again. The headlines every week are powered by Antiquat. Until next week. Whiskey, weed, and Warren Zevon, folks. Whiskey, weed, and Warren Zevon. And don't you dare vote for Donald Trump. Late.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.